Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, welcome to the Brad and Bunny Basketball Podcast, featuring former Sydney Kings captain and multimedia performer Brad Rosen, alongside Australia's longest-serving basketball writer and blogger, Buddy Nodge, and me, Gilar the Invincible, the voice of a man you just had to have. Now, talking all things NBL and WNBL, here's Bradley.
Well, it's been a very, very interesting week, Buddy. Two major announcements that's come out in the last 24 hours.
Yes, and one's very exciting and one's shocking and terrible. Let's go with shocking and terrible, and that's the wrist injury, the broken wrist to Genoa Hay, the captain of not only the Southside Flyers, the leading team in the WNBL right now, but also the Opals. She's out for 10 to 12 weeks, and that means she won't be participating in anymore in this season, and certainly won't be going to France with the Opals for their Olympic qualifier. So that is a massive blow.
And I'm shocked. I watched that game, and I know you've got another one, but I'm just going to jump in there. I watched that game. Unbelievable. She was icing it afterwards, walking around, talking to everyone. The game was phenomenal. Shattering news.
Yeah, absolutely. And it definitely completely changes the dynamic of the playoffs. But we can talk about that later. The other big news, of course, was Devondrick Walker being signed by the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix to take the place of Keith Benson. A little bit of a surprise to some because he's 196 centimetres and a wing and a shooter, and Benson was a centre. But then if you look at the form that Dane Pinot's been in the last couple of weeks, 20 rebounds 2 weeks ago, 19 rebounds last week, hasn't been done since Mark Redke, you know, almost 20 years ago. So they could afford to take a gamble on this young fellow who almost played with the Perth Wildcats 2 years ago. What are your thoughts? Do you think they've gone in the right direction, Brad?
Yeah, I'll be interested to see. I mean, number one, that's a big tick for Dane Pinot because he's made them make a decision based around him to give him more minutes. And that's as a bench player, even though he's a starter, but as a player, that's all you want to do, prove the coach that you've got to play. So well done to Dane Pinot. I do like it. I guess what they're trying to do is maybe like a Tayshaun Tate type import. You know, that's where my mind's at. I do remember him being with the Wildcats a couple of seasons ago. I don't remember seeing enough of him to really give a comment, but I know he's been playing and had some, you know, a very good career. So I'm quite looking forward to seeing. He will give them a different dimension.
Absolutely. And what Pinot has done has allowed them to go and find the best available player as opposed to trying to find a center, which would have been probably a lot more difficult, although Perth seemed to be able to do all right with Miles Plumley, but we'll get to that a bit later too. So yeah, that's the big news of the last 24 hours, and we haven't had a 24 hours like this for quite some time.
Highlight of the week.
Well, my highlight of the week for the women's, I cannot go against any other than that overtime game against the Melbourne Boomers and Southside. I could not turn over, could not go and get a drink, go to the toilet, go and do anything. That was I'm sorry for everyone to have to picture that right now. I am absolutely like bound by that game. It was brilliant.
Yes.
That was
couldn't agree more. Yep. Well, my highlight actually comes from that game, and it is actually the fact that probably overlooked a little bit has been the performance of the Melbourne Boomers. Now, bear in mind, they had to play a game in Adelaide, which was a crucial game to start that round, which they won. And then they went over there, and Lindsay Allen was a withdrawal just before the game because she took a bump in Adelaide and came up a bit sore, so she didn't play. Sophie Cunningham fouled out. And then late in the game, there was a friendly fire head clash between Tony Farnworth and Matty Garrick. And Matty hit the ball pretty hard.
What a hit that was. Right. God, that hit hard.
Right. So when you factor all of those things in, I think the performance by the Melbourne Boomers was something that we've kind of glossed over a little bit. But it was a really good effort. I know people don't want to hear. I've seen some quotes from Todd Blanchfield that are brilliant about, you know, you don't want to hear how well you played in a loss. You want to win games. But they've lost all three to the Southside Flyers, and with the news of Genoa Hay being out, that performance, I think, would fill them full of confidence for what is to come. Now, NBL highlight. What have you got, Brad?
Well, I'm going to just say Perth. For Perth, who are coming off a championship, 33 years straight in the playoffs, have been renowned to not change imports, and I don't want to use the word stubborn because that's a wrong word, but you know, like, nut, we're happy and we're going to stick with what it is. And Trevor Gleeson did that exactly last year, but you know, and we all sat and, you know, me included, God, I think they should have made that decision. But Tirico White just went up another level in the playoffs, and that enabled them to be able to win on the back of everyone else playing like they normally do as well. But for them to make the decision to get rid of their import, that, let's be honest, wasn't great, but wasn't awful.
Yes.
He just wasn't great. And to bring in Plumlee, who is an NBA 350-game veteran, man, that was just a bomb that they hit. And I, that is me. That was a highlight. I'm just like, wow, look at the caliber that these teams, everyone just knows, we need more. So they just went, see you later, and went bang, and brought in an NBA guy. Loved it.
Yes, and it was a really an interesting set of circumstances that he happened to be released in China at the same time as I was, you know, bringing in Corey Webster, and the call was made. It just happened so very quickly. And that's what I admire about the Wildcats. When they have got a better option, I mean, they don't pull the trigger until they've got a better option. They had it. It came up quickly. They took care of business. And, yeah, that's why they are, what, 9-time champions in this league?
Yep, yep.
My own highlight is a little bit at home. I don't tend to do this, but I was very impressed that the Adelaide 36ers pulled a record South Australian crowd of 9,034 people to the Adelaide Entertainment Centre. And they all would have gone away happy because of the way the 36ers handled Melbourne.
Don't you ever bring this Sydney crap up to me again.
Sydney.
You know, oh, you love Sydney. You're a Sydney lover.
Yes.
Mate, it's a highlight. So you just did it then, right? It's a highlight of the week, and you bring your own boys up.
But yes.
They did do a good job. It wasn't.
Yeah, but you know, like that, it's one thing to pull a crowd like that. It's another thing to have them leave wanting to come back. Yeah, so you know, I can see them cracking 10,000. If they are to make the playoffs, I reckon they'll crack 10,000 this season, which makes it a fantastic move, really, on the part of the club. Let's keep talking NBL here just for a minute, Brad. Your thoughts on Melbourne? You know, they're
trouble.
Yeah.
Trouble. They are not a happy group. I can't see how they look happy. Melo Trimble is an outstanding player. I don't see where he fits in that team. I just still can't see it. You said it a couple of weeks ago, and you are correct. He needs to be more of a distributor for Chris Golding, and that is not happening. Chris Golding, I don't know what it is with Chris. I just see him, the way he plays. I haven't seen him smile in a while, and he's one of those guys that does.
Yes.
And I haven't seen that, you know, that, you know, the, I don't know what, the, like the walk around and the bounce in his step that some people would hate if he's not a Melbourne guy, but others, if you're Melbourne, you love it. You know what I mean? He's got that swagger, and I love watching Chris Golding have that swagger. I just haven't seen that. They're a happy camp, and I don't know how they're going to change that, and I don't think Prath is the answer if he comes back at all.
I don't think he's going to. I think they're pretty much conceded that he won't be playing again this season.
What's your thoughts on them?
Well, it starts at the head of the dog, and that is Trimble. He's the point guard. He's running the show. He seemed to have it right early in the season, and then for a period there, I think he was leading the scorers, and maybe, you know, he's a young man, maybe that got to him, and that became a little more important for a while, and now he's kind of lost his way, or he seems to have lost his way. He's not as confident with his shooting. You know, his shooting's been terrible over the last three games. So I think that's where it begins. I also think Sean Long is a guy that needs structure, and I just think both of those guys are supreme athletic talents, but they have to find their way to fit into that group. I'd like to see more of Alex Pledger. He's back. I like him. I think he's effective within the limitations that he has. And I just don't think they're getting it right at the moment. I mean, they've got a big game coming up in New Zealand in this particular round. So, yeah, that change has to come sooner than later, because there are teams pushing to take their spot in the four. I mean, at one stage it's just the battle for fourth spot. Now it's the battle for anything behind Sydney and Perth. So Melbourne, they definitely need to get their mix right. I mean, Trimble has to find where he fits and how he fits. And, you know, he had it for a while. He's got to get back to that mindset.
WNBL wrap time.
Well, some interesting games in the WNBL this round. Obviously, it was round 13. I thought, you know, the Melbourne win was great. We spoke about that over time. That was phenomenal. Yep. What about Townsville beating the Capitals again? Like, just unbelievable. Just so many different games.
Well, what we saw was the release of Abby Bishop, the 2015 MVP of the league. Townsville released her. She was signed for 2 years. I think she decided she wasn't going to do the second year, or the club and her had sat down. She wasn't going to do the second year, in which case might as well go with the people we've got now. So they let her go early. Sometimes it's addition by subtraction. But to beat Canberra by 33 points was a whopping result. I mean, that you can say, well, that's Canberra without Kelsey Griffin. But nonetheless, that's still...
It's still 33 points, like you're saying. That's right. Yes. Yeah. And they scored 102.
Yeah.
Like, that's rolling.
Yeah, they really were. I talked to Susie Batkovic about that game, and she said they were just shooting the lights out. They were fantastic. Maybe Tess Madgen with 26 points is a season high. She was trying to make a point too, having missed the Opal selection earlier in the week. But that's 2 weeks in a row that Canberra's lost to the last-place team. The week before, they lost in Bendigo. That took Bendigo out of last, put Townsville into last, and now they lost in Townsville. So Canberra desperately hoping to have Kelsey Griffin back this weekend. And if she is, you'd have to favour them to get Southside, certainly on Sunday. Questionable about Friday's game against Melbourne. That's a big one.
Let me just ask a quick question. Do you think Tess Madgen should have made the Opals team? I did. You?
No, I kind of liked it. I kind of like the group they have. Yeah. Sorry.
No, just wanted to get your thoughts. Well, obviously now we get into round 14, and I want to talk to you about those games. The ladder is pretty set. Flyers 14-3, Boomers 12-5, Capitals 10-6, Lightning 10-7. I think we all agree, and you and I spoke about this last week, top four is done. It's just who's going to play who. Yes. Now, with Southside Flyers losing Geno Hay, who we mentioned earlier in the show, do you say now I want to be fourth?
Well, you do. You do. You see, in the way it sits right now, there's no guarantee Southside holds on to first
place.
That's
the other thing as well. Good point. Yeah.
They've got four games to go. In those four, they've got Bendigo and Sydney, which you would have automatically said they'll win those games.
Not now.
No, not now. So they have to win. I think they have to win at least one of those so that even if Melbourne was to tie them at the end of the season, having won the series over Melbourne, they would hold first place. So they need to lead to win one of these last four games. Now, that's doable. And if they do that, they stay top. The likelihood is then that Adelaide will stay in fourth, and Melbourne and Canberra will be second and third. So they'll be playing in one series. Adelaide South.
Well, that leads us to our first game then. I'll talk about that one. If you say Melbourne and Canberra, that's our first game. And
yes,
that's
huge.
Yeah, at Canberra.
So that if Canberra wins that, they go to 11-6 and Melbourne go to 12-6. So, and Canberra's got a game in hand.
Yeah, and Melbourne were great weekend, obviously losing to the overtime, but you've mentioned it before, you know, did well.
They got nothing to be worried about, I wouldn't have thought. So that's a really tough one. I actually like Melbourne for that, but I mean, if Kelsey Griffin comes into the equation, that changes it a little bit.
You bring in a superstar in, of course it's going to happen, so I agree, yeah.
Yep, but I'm going to go with Melbourne.
Adelaide at home against Townsville, a must win. When I say a must win, like you want to keep climbing up the ladder, Adelaide will get that done. I know Townsville coming off a great win, but Adelaide too good for me.
Yeah, Townsville had a couple of good wins, actually getting Sydney as well in Sydney. So they would be feeling much better about themselves than they were, and they can stay out of leave Bendigo in last place now. But that'll be a good contest, but I expect Adelaide.
Barring any injuries, I'm predicting Boomers to beat the Flames two nights later. It's the next night. My mistake.
Yeah,
so Melbourne.
That's tough.
Only from Canberra, though. It's only from Canberra. 3 hours.
All right. Okay.
But it's still. But it is at 5:05. So it's an earlier game. And when you think about it, they're playing at 7 o'clock at night in Canberra, right? So they'll finish there, let's say, 9, 10 o'clock. Now, I'm not sure that. Do they stay in Canberra or would you bus to Sydney? I would bus to Sydney because no one can sleep after a game anyway. So I would bus to Sydney, stay over there, and then you can have a bit more of a sleep in. But with a 5 o'clock game, it's 2 hours preparing for everything. So you are right. It's not a standard, come in there and do it. So Sydney could upset that one.
Yeah, but you've just lost, Sydney's just lost Talia Tupia
with
a PCL injury. So
yeah, the knee. Yeah.
Even though, so you get Brittany Smart back, you know, you get something on one hand, on the other hand, you lose something. So I think Melbourne should still get over the line. That's a very deep team and he can go deep. So I think the big one is the next one, Bendigo Southside.
Yeah.
You know, Bendigo disappointing in Perth. It was a terrific effort again by Shyla Hill getting 30 points.
Man, she's hooping that girl. I mean, I know the family and I've seen her since she's born, but like credit, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, it's hard for me because I do know them so well. I don't want to be, you know, pushing someone's buttons that I know, but man, credit where credit due. That girl is balling. You know, she 30 points. That's she's really doing well.
Yep, So that's the big one for Southside. Now I'm going to pick Southside to win that, but I'm not confident at all. But
I'm going Bendigo in the upset.
Yep, that's a fair call. Fair call.
I love my girls. I'm all for the Southside, but I think that's going to take a big hit from what they did last week. Perth Lynx taking on Townsville at home. Oh man, toss a coin in this one. I really don't know.
No, I'm going to go with Perth. I think the Townsville bubble will have burst.
You know I hate agreeing with you, but I am going to in this one.
Yeah. Well, you disagreed on Southside. Bendigo, you actually went for Bendigo to beat Southside, so I think they'll probably be asking for the polo shirt back.
Well, I only did that because you went for Southside. I still love them. I just did opposite to you.
Okay. That's sensible reasoning.
Yeah. The last game of the round, Southside versus Capitals, again, one of those things. I am going to go with my polo. I'm in with my Southside Flyers, and I just think they'll beat Capitals at home.
I'm going to take a punt on Canberra. I don't know why. But here's the caveat. Kelsey Griffin has to play. If she plays, I'm going for Canberra. If she doesn't, I'm sticking with Southside, in which case that would mean Southside would have wrapped up first place with Sydney and Adelaide to come, I think, in its last two games.
Let me say, I am predicting mine without her playing. I am assuming that both of these she's not going to play, and that's why I'm going against Canberra.
Okay.
Yeah. So what a round. Really looking forward to what should be another great round of the WNBL.
It's NBL rep time.
Well, speaking of great rounds in the WNBL, what about the NBL? We came into this round and we thought, right, New Zealand, they've got two games, you know, one against Cairns and one against Brisbane, one away, one at home. They could really try and cement themselves in the four. Cairns, well, they're home and away, and could they win both? Sydney, are they going to establish what's happening with Melbourne? Like, it was all over the place. But what a great round, and we're still position where we have no idea who's going to make the playoffs except one and two, like you said before, Sydney, Perth. You'd almost lock them in. The others, it's open.
I'd say New Zealand are done too. As we said, that was their chance to cement their position. I think what they did was put on some cement shoes and throw themselves in the river, because with 12 losses, there's no margin for error for them now. And I can't see it. I think that the teams that are legitimately in this hunt for those spots are Cairns, Melbourne, Adelaide, Brisbane, and let's see how Walker fits in with Phoenix. But I reckon it's narrowed down now. I think the Phoenix, New Zealand, Illawarra are the three that are maybe not in the equation. But I'll stand corrected on Phoenix, as I say, depending on how they go this round, because it's a tough one for them. They got the job done in Illawarra.
Yeah, I'm not convinced with any of them, I've got to be honest with you, because they've all got this, you know, such a grey area the way they play. Yeah, so, I mean, Adelaide is the same. I said Adelaide from day one, you and I did, and then halfway through the season, I've said Melbourne the whole time, by the way, and then I thought, well, there's no doubt Phoenix. I thought New Zealand, they're having a good run, but I never thought they'll make the four. I'm still not convinced on Brisbane, but anything can happen. But
Brisbane got five of their last seven games at home, Brett.
But it's not like they've been great there either.
Yeah, they've been better there than they have been on the road. So, I just kind of like the way it's starting to fall now. If he stays with the same rotation, you know, keeps it a bit tighter. Unfortunately, that's bad news for Ruben Tarangi. But
he's playing Glidden now. And that's really what everyone's been yelling out for. He started Glidden. Yep. I think he had 14 points, shot the ball well, 3 of 3 or something. Or four of four,
11 in the last quarter.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, you've got... I mean, the guy 6 months ago was playing the World Championships.
He was warming up.
He was a lot closer than you and I were, but anyway.
or ever will be.
You know, between him and I, we've been to all World Championships as a player. So, he's great. I love him. And he's that, like that Todd Blanchfield for Illawarra. You know, I really enjoy that. But I want to talk to you about round 16. It opens on Friday night. In New Zealand, New Zealand against the Kings. An interesting one, because I still don't think the Kings are playing great basketball. I thought they were a lot better against Cairns last round. And I thought New Zealand were really poor, but they've got the opportunity to bounce back. I don't think it's going to happen, but anything could with that team. But Sydney Kings to win for me. You?
Likewise, I'm favouring the Kings in this one. I think the pall that will have sort of set over the Breakers as a result of last weekend's results, that might be hard to dig out of. They've got two at home this round. I think, especially if they lose this one, then the next one at home on Sunday against Melbourne, that will become massive. Cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely massive for both clubs. Because Melbourne drops that and they're in deep doggy do.
Well, speaking of that, having doubles, what about if you like the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix? They bring in a new import, and who's the first two games they play? Perth away, Sydney away.
Oh yeah, the top two teams. Like,
Look, I can't see them competing against Perth. Not with Plumlee in there. The adrenaline in Perth will be phenomenal. You mentioned it here. They're not the same team without Damian Martin. I agree with you, but Plumlee gives them boost and that lift.
Didn't that change the whole mindset of the team? It's almost like, with all due respect to Dario Hunt, but with him gone and Plumlee in, everybody just seemed to be 10 foot tall. Like, we can play. Yeah. I mean, that 3-point barrage they opened up with against Illawarra, you know, Mitch Norton hitting everything, and then Bryce Cotton and Tirico and Jesse Wagstaff and Clint Steindl on it went. Nick Kay, everyone was hitting threes. I don't know. They were just so high and feeling so good about themselves. Get back into RAC Arena. Brad, boy, it's going to be even tougher.
Yeah, I agree. And it reminded me, I remember seeing an article or reading something or hearing something about Luke Longley, where they asked him about the Bulls back in, you know, his 72-win season. And he said, we just knew if we showed up, we were going to win. Like, it was just that aura where everyone was just 10 feet tall. And it's exactly what you're saying about Perth.
Yeah.
It's just awesome. I got to tell you a quick story. So I was at the game the other night, and Sydney Kings, obviously, and I was commentating against Cairns.
Obviously.
And after the game, I take my kids out to the car because they were at the kids, and a lot of the players come out. My kids love to get the signatures, and, you know, they've probably got 7,000 of the same guy every game, but it doesn't matter. And Luke Longley walked out, and I saw my youngest, who's 8, and he looks up, and my 12-year-old son, he looks up, and I said, you're going to get Luke's autograph. And they sort of looked at me as if to say, who is he? That is absolutely no disrespect. So I looked at him, I said to him, he won 3 championships and played with Michael Jordan. Mate, they ran to him. I'm surprised they didn't pull a hamstring, right? The quickness that they ran to him and asked, and I'll tell you, Luke was phenomenal. Had photos with him, signatures, are you, mate? Give me 5. And he was just, I mean, they all are, but just to see my kid's face, and one of them then comes up to me and he says, Dad, that's the closest I've ever been to Michael Jordan. And you know, I said to him, that's the closest I've ever been to Michael Jordan as well.
Luke is a phenomenal human being. He's never let it go to his head. He's just stayed a true blue, good old Aussie bloke. He's wonderful. He was he came to Adelaide one time with a Boomers team, and he met all the people in the front office. They were playing some international game, and then he came back a couple of years later, went through the front office, and said g'day to everybody by name. Now, you know, that's just an amazing thing to me, that I can't remember colleagues I worked with, and he's a terrific human being. Yep.
Well, I'm going to ask you, because we spoke about Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, and they were the last game of the round. Who do you think is going to get that, Sydney or Phoenix?
Oh, I think Sydney will get that. I think.
Saying double win for Sydney, double loss for the Phoenix.
Yeah, which would put them to 9-13, and I think that's why I sort of said I think this is the make or break for them. I think it's Cairns, Melbourne, Adelaide, Brisbane. I am liking Brisbane now at the moment. If Andre stays with that and the way he's rotating him now, and players have a better feel for their roles, I can see them making a charge.
Brisbane are going to win that game unless they don't show up. I agree with you. This one, next one, Saturday. Yeah. Oh, go on. You're going to say something?
Well, I said the next game they got is Illawarra, so you can pretty much pencil that in. That would take them to 11-11, you know, straight away. So
Southeast lose. I know where you're coming from. Well, let's then talk about the next game, because Brisbane beat Illawarra, you're saying. Then Cairns are playing Adelaide, so that could potentially be a big impact on Brisbane. If Brisbane win, one of those teams are losing.
Right. So Cairns wins, they go to 13-10, and they pretty much start to punch their ticket. They're very, very close. Adelaide are 11-11. That'd be 11-12. They'd drop below Brisbane. Adelaide wins.
Is this the game Jerome Randall up in Cairns? Was that the one he won against Cairns, or was that in Adelaide? I'm sorry, I just can't remember. You know, he
beat that. They won by 4 or 6 in Adelaide. I can't remember, but they had it, and up in Cairns they won reasonably comfortably.
Oh, okay.
So no, I think you might be thinking of the New Zealand. But so what I was going to say is, if Cairns was to lose to Adelaide, they'll go to 12-11. Adelaide will be 12-11. Yeah, we're assuming Brisbane beats Illawarra. They'll be 11-11. So it throws it wide open. And if New Zealand,
well, I want to tell you about Cairns, right? So let's talk about Cairns. I think they're going to win, and I'm going to watch Cam Oliver as close as I've ever watched anyone before. I was there at the game the other night, and I was in the timeout listening, and Mike Kelly was agitated. I love him. Coach of the year, love him, absolutely. Yep. And he was agitated with the way they were playing, and rightly so, and he was yelling something to Cam Oliver, and Cam wasn't really listening and didn't, so he subbed him out. Bang, get out, and brought in one of his other guys. And Cam sat there for 8 minutes, and they made a run, Cairns, that was in the third quarter, and then he came back on Cam Oliver, and to me, did nothing. So I don't want to say he sulked, but he didn't come back on and dominate, you know, like some players, if coach gets up. Yeah. So I want to see, and Mike Kelly will be great. He would have spoken to him after this game. You just know he would have been in his ear. I'm really going to watch that guy because he is a phenomenal player, but Mike was not happy with the way, I don't even know if it was the way he was playing or that he didn't concentrate in a timeout or whatever it was, but there was something between them. So I'm going to watch that game. To me, Cairns to win it.
Okay, so you're saying that he didn't sulk. He sooked. There's a vast difference, huge difference. Okay, I'm going for...
Okay, we don't have a long enough podcast to explain what you mean because you lost me at hello. All right. Who you got, Cairns or Adelaide?
I'm going to take a punt on Adelaide just at the moment. And then, because if Adelaide was to win... If Adelaide... Oh, come on, I haven't been on Adelaide at all. I've hated some of the stuff they've been doing this season. I like the idea of them getting that, and I like the idea of New Zealand getting Melbourne, and then you'd have just a whole bunch of teams on 12-11, 11-11. It would be, you know, fantastic.
I'm going to go for Melbourne to win New Zealand, and here's why. Anytime Dean Vickerman's team or Melbourne United, everyone's like, they're not good. Bang, they'll come out and have a game, and I think that's it. It's a light, you know, sometimes I said like the Brisbane Bullets, they're going to have that game. That Melbourne United game is that game for me. New Zealand will be on their second game of the weekend. They'll still be good, but I reckon Melbourne will just come out and go bang.
Mm. You know what? I like your thinking. I really do. And so I will also favour Melbourne because I think you're right. That ends New Zealand's season. If they've lost to Sydney and they lose to Melbourne, they're done. They're 9-14. Even if they win their last 5 games, they'll only be 14-14, and that will not be enough. So, it's a massive game. And the last one, Sydney, South East Melbourne, your thoughts?
Look, I sit here and say South East Phoenix are one of these teams, and I think I said magic before in a commentary as well. Man, I struggle with that. I've got to be honest with you. I've got to get that magic out of my... It's so hard. But anyway, I'm one of those big believers with the Phoenix that... they don't lose 2 in a row in one weekend because they're just such a team that they're so motivated. If they lose one, they'll be so good in the next one. So I think they're going to split the weekend, but I can't see where they're going to bloody win. That's the problem because they won't win in Perth. Yes, they could beat Sydney, but I think Sydney are going to play well. But I'm going to go for a complete upset and just say Phoenix because I think they'll get done in Perth and bounce back. And Sydney... whilst they'll do well in New Zealand, I just think, you know, win or lose, they're still in first spot. And I think Phoenix are going to want that little bit more. That's all I'm coming.
Good reasoning. I'll go with Sydney, but that's really good reasoning. So let's hear your Rosen Rattler.
Uh-oh. Rosen's Rattler.
Will Weaver. I've got Will Weaver. Now, for those of you that watched the game the other night, I commentated and I was asked to do an interview for Will Weaver. And I want to set this up for you guys. The producer came to my ear and said, Will Weaver, let's do a quick interview. Now, this was not pre-planned. A lot of these are pre-planned and the coaches know. So Will was walking out and I said to my producer, and she was great, and I said, look, if we're going to interview him, let's have this camera ready because I know he's going to say, Brad, it's got to be quick. So he was walking out. I said, Will, can you do a quick interview? He's like, no. And he looked at me and said, no, can you do it now? And I said, yes. So a huge tick for Will Weaver. Like, he was like, I want to do it, right? So
right.
I got the camera. We got it done. I asked one question, and he was fine. I said to him, I said, you know, what did you speak about in the timeout, in the halftime? Were you more happy with the offense or the defense? And he answered that really well. Then I said to him in the second question, I said, being that Cairns are having a second game, are you going to look to run this more or just play more of your game? And my theory of that is, you know, try and get stops in the defensive end, push the pressure up the court and run. Yep. And he said, yes.
Now, which is the correct answer?
Yes to what?
To both.
But, well, he is saying, but yes. Now, there was some stuff in the media, you know, like, oh, he should have responded, he should have done this. I just want to make it clear, I had no problems with the answer. I'm a massive fan of Will Weaver. He is always generous with his time. I probably next time, maybe I'll not give him a yes, no answer. So I'll go something different and I'll be prepared for my Greg Popovich answers. But I have no problems with it. And I know I've had a few tweets and people saying to me, oh, Brad, were you upset and everything? My answer is absolutely not. Couldn't be more impressed with him.
You love him. You love Will Weaver.
It's he's not Southside, but he's up there.
Here comes Nudge's Nasty.
What's your Nudge Nasty?
Oh, three words that every single commentator seems to get stuck on when someone shoots a ball from outside the three-point line. Land of plenty. I don't know where the hell that came from. I suspect it was an Andrew Gaze throwaway. Oh, but now you've got everybody and their neighbor has to say it two, three times every telecast. It's just driving me bat poop crazy. I won't say bat shit because I got in trouble last time. So I'll just go bat poop crazy because land of plenty, what does that even mean? I mean, just describe what's going on. That stuff absolutely gives me the willies and not the Will Weaver.
I love your cranky man pants. I love it. God bless you. Right, I'm going to throw another thing at you. We've spoken MVP. We've spoken most improved player. I'm going to throw something really quick because we're coming to the end here really quickly. Best defensive.
Whoa.
I'm going to give you three names.
Yep.
Sunday Deck, Will Magne, New Bill from Cairns.
Yes. Yes.
They're the three that stick out for me. Throw me some others if you can think of it.
I don't mind Mitch McCarron at United. I think he can get a job done, but I don't think he's in the same category right now as the three you mentioned. You've got to look at each team. And for Perth, it'd be Damian Martin. He hasn't played enough. For Sydney, it'd be Kevin Lish. He hasn't played enough. For United, if it's not McCarron, it's Melo Trimble. No, sorry, only kidding.
Hang on, sorry, I just got off my chair. Yeah, go. Sorry, fell over. Go on. Yep.
Yeah. So basically, I think it's going to come out of. I mean, Drimmick's done his job a few times too in Adelaide, but it's going to come from Sunday, Will or DJ, one of those three, I reckon.
I'm going to go Magne just over New Bill, but it wouldn't surprise me either or. I think Sunday Deck has been phenomenal. I agree, Creek's probably the one from Southeast if you go round teams. Drimmick's been great. Abercrombie would be the defensive guy, I think, from New Zealand. I think Casper, in theory, for Sydney. Sydney, maybe. Did he do a degree, Brad Newley?
Yeah,
but no.
I don't know. He's been a bit of a ghost at times.
Yeah. Okay, before we finish off, mate, talk to me about your website, BOTINAGY, bodynodge.com. Some great articles this week. What's your big one?
Oh, there's plenty happening, obviously, in the news sense, and there'll be a tough guest, the player, coming up in the next 24 hours. But also, the Basketball SA Hall of Fame is coming up next month, which is the first one in about a decade. I think that everybody's sort of gone through a Rip Van Winkle stage. So I'm going to run a couple of articles on some of these people that will be inductees, and people like Werner Lind. I mean, we've done Les Hody. There's the Adelaide Lightning team of 94, 95, 96. So there's a few good features coming up in the next few days.
That is why you are the guru and the don of basketball. I love how you write it all. You know it all. I've also got a shout out to some people. Do you know how many people at the Sydney Kings came up to me the other day and tapped me and said, hey, I'm listener number 7. You know, we've been.
So that's hilarious. We've got to be up to about 50.
So I reckon we're up to 8 now.
No. If you're getting them, I'm getting them. It's 15. It's double figures. No.
I reckon what they're all doing is they're all ringing each other and say, let's just do it. I don't know what they're talking about, right? So we're getting the numbers up. It's great, body, as usual.
Subscribe. Awesome. Subscribe. That's what we need you to do. Subscribe.
Yeah, yell at us, abuse us, let us know anything that's going on. Also, a shout out to Joe, our great guy that gets all of this together. He's the man.
He is the man at the core.
Boddy, thank you so much to all our listeners. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, like, review, and follow us. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, wherever you want to. And looking forward to what will be another fantastic round in the WNBL and the NBL. And we'll see you next week.